And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Matthew Tkachuk is set for his season debut. Vegas and Calgary make another big trade, and the Rangers put out another leather. It's time now for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 16, Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Jake?
Nick, nobody loves a statement more than the New York Rangers. This is deja vu all over again for Rangers fans. So we'll get into that. I think the Rangers are going to be a massive story to follow if they start trading off some pieces as we go on. Calgary, like you mentioned, already starting to trade off some pieces. One I think we've seen coming for a while. And it's great to have you back from Vegas, Nick. You're looking good. You're sounding good. So clearly the Vegas trip went well, right?
Yes, exactly it. I sub in, no Chris Meany today. He'll be back on Thursday, by the way, but it was a fun trip. I do love my revenge. Mitch Marner got his revenge on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and this is Mitch Marner week back in Toronto coming up on Friday. But let's not bury the lead. Matthew Tkachuk, I mean, we've been talking about this story the last little while, guys, finally making his return. And I was in Vegas, as mentioned, over the weekend, and I look at the box score. I'm watching the games Friday night, and I see that crazy, crazy score between Carolina and Florida, which tells me the Panthers need this guy back in the lineup, right?
Yeah, yes. Yes, they do. I feel like they've needed him back for a while. We know this team's been underperforming based on their standards, but then you see a result like that, and Carolina's the measuring stick team in the East, right? If you're a Florida that wants to do what they've done the last couple of years, those are the teams you're going to have to beat. Tampa, you'd group in there, maybe another team. So when you get blasted like that, Pete, for Florida, I'm sure Matt Tkachuk's watching that and thinking, okay, I don't want to rush myself back in until I'm ready, but I need to get in here in a hurry. And Pete, look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference. Your Buffalo Sabres, all these other teams that are making moves, winning all the time, all of a sudden Florida's falling further and further behind, and they got to get some wins here in a hurry.
I expect Florida to be just fine, but you can't help but look at this arms race going on. You know, teams like Dallas and Colorado are going to make moves. We've already seen Quinn Hughes and the impact he's had on the Wild. I would consider the Wild a top five team. I would consider the Vegas Golden Knights a top five team, and I would also consider the Florida Panthers a top five team. That's not too much room for other teams. I guess the other top two, I would say, are Colorado and Dallas, but these upper echelon teams are absolutely loaded right now and getting better by the day.
Really are. And I think when you look at Florida specifically here, Pete, like, everybody just thinks it's a foregone conclusion they're getting into the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think it's going to be a more difficult battle than people think. As somebody who covers the Toronto Maple Leafs, I've looked at how much ground that team has had to make up the last little while. It's been difficult. Everybody in the Eastern Conference, specifically, Jake, in that division, we talked about this last week, are winning and winning and winning. So I think, obviously, from a fantasy standpoint, this is really good news for the Florida Panthers, but it's put up or shut up time. You got to start winning some games here.
Well, that's the thing. I've just assumed they're going to make the playoffs all along. Yeah. I still think if you're asking me right now, put down $100. Does Florida win, or does Florida make the playoffs? Do they miss the playoffs? I'm still betting on them to make it, just because I think when it comes to these high intensity games late in the season, I'd trust Florida more than some of these other teams. But you are right to point that out. I mean, all these other teams in the East keep winning. They're 4 points back of the Buffalo Sabres for that last wild card spot as we speak right now. I still think a top three Atlantic spot is realistic for them, even though that might be difficult, Pete, with how these teams keep winning. So I'm still trusting on Florida to make the playoffs. And I think you are as well, Pete. It sounds like the way you're talking that you trust this team. They do have a lot of guys going to the Olympics as well. I would point out, maybe do they have enough left in the tank is something I'd also be worrying about, Pete. But I still think this Panthers team finds a way to grind themselves through and make the postseason.
And let's be honest, you have to worry about that with Matthew Tkachuk. You know that at the top of his list right now for the near future is the Olympics, you know, assuming everything goes according to plan. But if he deals with another injury, you could see the fallout from that being him missing time down the stretch and maybe even during the playoffs. And that goes for all these teams, right? All these top teams are sending a number of guys to the Olympics, and there will be injury implications because of the condensed schedule and because of whatever happens in the Olympics for the stretch run of the season. And it's going to come down to who's healthy at the right time and those sort of, you know, little factors near the end of the season.
It's interesting too, because not too long ago, the San Jose Sharks were like a fluff opponent for a return, but it's not going to be that case. Like, this is going to be another hard game for the Florida Panthers, and that's what happens when you start chasing it. It doesn't matter really who your opponent is. So Matthew Tkachuk, finally ready to come back, make his season debut here for the Florida Panthers. Kachuk's former team now, Jake, the Calgary Flames. It's like Vegas is their farm club at this point in time, right? And they're going back and forth. Another big trade, and we see Anderson and Hanifin back together on a pairing in Vegas. You know, we're not shocked, though, at the destination. And I think an extension is going to get done. But from a fantasy perspective, what does this do to Rasmus Anderson?
Well, this is what Vegas does. This is what Vegas does so well. This is how they've built their team. They get players that are all, they don't have to, you know, go through the process of building these guys up, drafting, developing. They get guys that are already developed, veteran players, you know, for whatever reason, can't be on a team. And in this case, you know, Florida obviously trying to sell Anderson. And we were looking at this last year, Anderson probably going. So, Pete, I'm very curious your take on this. Nick asked from a fantasy perspective because, you know, obviously Anderson was the guy there in Calgary. He's going to get the power play time. He's going to get a few more shots through from the back end. You've got Shea Theodore there. Nick mentions Noah Hanifin as well. There's more competition on this Vegas roster, I think, for minutes and for power play time for Anderson. So as much as he's going to a better team, if I'm an Anderson owner, I'm a little worried that, you know, maybe there's just too many guys in front of him here. He's going to be impactful on this Vegas roster, but is he going to be impactful on our fantasy rosters, Pete?
It's a weird situation because they usually roll five forwards on power play one with all the elite scorers they have in the forward group in Vegas. So in the past, with like Burns and Carlson and some of these other defenseman duos that we've seen through the years, right, when we were trying to project Lane Hudson and Noah Dobson in the offseason, you know that there's one power play, one spot up for grabs. But here, you're looking at three of the top 30 fantasy defensemen between Anderson and Shea Theodore and Noah Hanifin, but none of them are in the top 20 because there's not even a power play one spot up for grabs at the moment.
Definitely, and that's the big story for me when you're trying to nail down the repercussions of this trade from a fantasy perspective. I don't think it helps the value of Rasmus Anderson. In fact, I was trying to trade this guy on my Keeper League team. I've had him the entire season waiting for a trade, and I thought maybe it could be elsewhere, like even a place like Boston. He probably has the potential of running the first power play unit. If McAvoy couldn't do it, you know, Toronto, definitely he'd be on PP1. This wasn't the best fit, I would say, for Rasmus Anderson. But again, he's going to solidify that blue line for sure, though.
Yeah, actually to the point where I think if I own Anderson, I wouldn't mind seeing if I could trade him, because I think there'd be maybe somebody in your league that would think, oh, he's going to Vegas. Oh, great. Okay, he's going to be playing with Eichel and all these great players, and might accept that trade, not really thinking, you know, the power play time's not going to be there. And I'm not saying he's going to be a total dud. I still think he could produce even without the power play time, but I feel like it wouldn't be a bad idea to try to get out of the file right now. And I'm also looking at who could get a bump here in Calgary, Nick, mm-hmm. right? With Anderson out, that kind of just clears the path for Mackenzie Weegar, at least for the moment, to run that first power play. It's not exactly a loaded power play in Calgary, but still, it's PP1. They've got some decent parts there. I think Weegar's value at least goes up for the short period here.
1,000%. And Pete, I'll just throw the name again. Zane Parekh had a pretty damn good World Junior for Canada offensively on a conditioning stint right now, I believe, now in the American Hockey League. And it's like, here are the keys to the car when you come back now.
That's exciting when you can have a young player thrust into likely a top pair, first power play role for many years to come. He's got the keys to the car. He's got some talent around him. It's not the most loaded offense by any means in the forward group, but Zane Parekh has a very high ceiling, as does Dustin Wolfe. And we've seen these guys show flashes, especially Wolfe, even during this lost season. And Calgary has at least a couple of really nice young pieces to build its team around moving forward.
You got to give Calgary credit. I mean, they've been competing all season long. Jake, I wonder, does this go full-blown Vancouver after this trade? Like, I know Vancouver had the initial rush, and they just stink now, man.
I don't know. I feel like the vibes are just a touch better in Calgary than Vancouver. I feel like the vibes are better everywhere than Vancouver, to be completely honest. That team just looks, I mean, they look ready to be totally stripped down if it is possible to do so. I'm not sure Calgary's going to go full tear down on this thing. I think they're going to trade off the pieces that we expect, right? Anderson's gone now. I think we all expected that. A lot of talk around Nazem Kadri. We know he's going to be highly coveted. Everybody wants a center. He's proven himself in the playoffs. I'd have to think he goes, and there's a couple of other pieces. So I feel like there's enough guys in Calgary that would just be excited to get the extra minutes and step up. So will they be bad? Probably. Will they be a team we could fade sometimes? Yes. But I also think there might be some spots where we could take them as an underdog, maybe find some value spots for some of these players that get a bump up in the lineup as this team starts to get stripped down.
And you're going to look at Parekh. I know he was on an AHL conditioning stint. He's dealt with some injury. But whenever this guy gets into the mix, it's going to be someone that, especially in keeper in dynasty leagues, you're going to want to pick up and stash through thick or thin the rest of the way. But even in the here and now, there's going to be those garbage time points. And sometimes those are just as valuable as a Rasmus Anderson buried in the lineup. Like, could we see over the last month or two of the season, Parekh, if he's playing, outscoring Rasmus Anderson? I think it's certainly possible and something to throw out there.
Yeah, I like it. Again, if there's one thing Parekh is good at, heck, excels at, it's the offensive part of the game. Defensively, work in progress, but the guy can run a power play at this young age. And, you know, I would put probably some decent money coming back from my trip to Vegas here that Parekh could outscore and get more points than Rasmus Anderson. But I think from a sheer potential of winning the Stanley Cup, I think this puts Vegas into perennial contender sort of threshold for me. I think the big thing, Jake's going to be getting a save. Aiden Hill back, he was not good against the Leafs last Thursday, but that's where I lean now. And aside from that, obviously, William Karlsson's health, right?
Well, Aiden Hill's going to get a chance to play a bunch of games here before the Olympics, and I'm not too concerned about him just yet. You're right, it wasn't a great start at all, but you know, the Leafs are playing some good hockey coming in. I'm not going to read too much into it. And then the good thing for Vegas is Hill's going to get a break at the Olympics as well, sure, which will be nice because he has battled injuries. It's been hard for him to stay healthy. So, you know, hopefully they have their number one goalie healthy going to the playoffs. You're probably going to need some depth in that category as well. And Nick, what it tells me is this team serious about winning, and this might be, you know, you're getting this one done early. This might be move one of two or three moves for this Vegas team, and they have a path in that Pacific Division. Edmonton's there. I get it. They're probably going to still be the team to beat with McDavid and what they've done the last couple of years, but there's a clear path through that Pacific Division to get to a conference final. I think Vegas knows that, and they're going to try to take advantage of that this season.
Yeah, Kelly McCrimmon isn't messing around. You just love to see that from a sports fan point of view. He just doesn't care who you are. If he can upgrade, he's going to upgrade. And again, Vegas, a perennial contender, I think, now with Rasmus Anderson in the fold. The other side of the spectrum here, Pete, you guys spoke last Thursday. Of course, I wasn't here, but you talked about Artemi Panarin and the New York Rangers in general, some possible destinations for him. Well, we've got some answers over the weekend. Firstly, the Rangers and Chris Drury, their GM, put out a letter of intent to retool, not rebuild. I think important words in this day and age of the NHL. And on top of that, we found out that Artemi Panarin is not re-signing here with the New York Rangers, nor are they going to try to re-sign him. So he's going somewhere. Pete, you can lead off here. How do you break down the fantasy ripple effects here of the New York Rangers and all this hoopla the last little while again?
Well, it's crazy to speculate that Panarin, it's not even speculation anymore. We know it's going to happen. He's going to join a contending team as a rental, most likely, unless they have the cap space to re-sign him. But a lot of those top teams don't have that cap space beyond whatever their LTIR situation is this year. But I look at Panarin, and we touched on it on the previous show, but I look at Panarin, if he's not the top player on the team, he's a guy that could definitely put somebody over the top. During the Rangers days, he couldn't carry them in the postseason past a certain point, and that was unfortunate for their ceiling as a team. But I think he could really add a lot, and he's going to command a pretty high price, even though he is a rental.
As bad as it is for the Rangers, and it's bad. Like this year, last year, it's been horrible for this Rangers team not meeting expectations. At least they're being honest with themselves and saying, okay, we're not, like, they're not fooling themselves thinking they can get back into this thing. Let's trade off some pieces. There's no need to sign Artemi Panarin with where this franchise is at and give him a contract at his age. So I'm glad they're going this route, Nick, and it's great for us as well. Now we get a piece like Panarin dangling out there in the trade talks that could obviously help a team, and he's helping out the Rangers. He's been very productive the last few weeks, you know, and upping that trade value a little bit more. And everybody knows what Panarin is. You kind of know what you're trading for. So I'd be curious what you think about possible destinations here. I feel like the LA Kings could be a team that might be in the mix because I mean, I watched that team. They need an injection of something in that top six. It's just way too stale. And I think they could obviously use a Panarin. You could go down the list. There's probably 10 teams that would be interested in his services. But I got my sneaky eye on LA. Maybe not that true contender, but a team that wants to be a playoff team that I think could really use help offensively.
I like it. I think Bill Guerin's lurking in the weeds. I know he needs a top six center, and he could hook up with the New York Rangers and get Vinny Trocheck. Why not both? Why not get Trocheck and Panarin? I think that'd be a perfect ideal situation for Minnesota. I'm not sure if they can get it done. The other team is the Buffalo Sabres. Like, you talk about a team that could use the jolt. I mean, they're in a really good position to potentially make the playoffs for the first time since maybe I was born. It seems that way, at least. And there's a connection with Jarmo Kekalainen and back to his days with Columbus and Artemi Panarin. So those are my wildcard teams, Minnesota and the Buffalo Sabres. But I just want to circle back, Pete, to the New York Rangers in general. Like, okay, they're going to retool or whatever they want to call it right now. But realistically, who is on the move? I mean, some of those contracts are unmovable. I look to Trocheck and Panarin as the two names, but you still have Zibanejad, you have Miller, Lafreniere, Fox, Shesterkin. I'm absolutely stunned. I'll be the first one to admit it here on this podcast. I'm stunned we're sitting here on January 19th and we're talking about the Rangers being cooked and finished. I just thought a guy like Mike Sullivan, pound for pound, one of the best coaches in hockey, can come in there, solidify that team, get into the playoffs. Just nothing has gone their way, even the JT Miller trade, right?
They just don't have the depth. I mean, you look back a couple of years ago when they got to the conference finals and they had, what, Kako, Hedl, and Lafreniere playing on their third line. Then they were a pretty robust team from top to bottom. But as they've been whittled down and made some other moves, like, they just don't have the depth. To me, anybody not named Shesterkin is on the block here. And that is how you build your team with the highest paid goalie in the league who's still in his prime. Everybody else, for the right price, could be gone, including the captain, JT Miller, because if your leadership during this time isn't going the right route, like, who's to say they wouldn't trade him again? They've traded him before in the past.
As a JT Miller owner, Pete, I would love that, because it's not been good with the Rangers this year. I'd love to see him on another team with a skilled winger, someone he could play with where he could really start to flourish, because he's obviously shown offensive prowess in the past before. Nick, and how do you feel right now if you're an Igor Shesterkin owner? Obviously, terrible. He's a great goaltender, but yeah, the injury, the fact, okay, what's he coming back to, right? You're coming back to a team that's probably going to be trading off a bunch of pieces. I'd be a little concerned. Okay, how many wins are going to be there in the fantasy playoffs down the stretch for me if I'm an Igor Shesterkin owner?
I actually think the opposite. This is what the Rangers do, right? They come out on Saturday, they win 6-3 in Philadelphia. So yeah, they call it a day and they're going to catch fire, and Shesterkin's going to come on and they're going to miss the playoffs by 3 points. He's going to come back. Like, it's just, right, it's bizarre world with the New York Rangers, and it adds to the drama leading up to the trade deadline. What are they going to do? Where's Panarin going to go? Is Trocheck going to go somewhere? So certainly a team we're monitoring over the next little while. Guys, let's look at week 16. I can't believe we're here already. January 19th to 25th. You got 10 games Monday, 8 on Tuesday, 6 Wednesday, 8 Thursday, 8 Friday, 9 Saturday, and 5 on Sunday. So really nice stagger for all the fantasy owners out there. 54 games in total. The four-game teams: Anaheim, Buffalo, Calgary, Chicago, Colorado, Florida, Minnesota, New Jersey, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Toronto, Vancouver, Vegas, Washington, and Winnipeg. So 16 teams have four-game slates. You want to stay away from L.A. and Utah. Those are your two-game slates. Anything stick out for you there, Jake?
Well, I know PDJ's got some great names coming up on the waiver wire list, but I'm looking at the Colorado Avalanche. We know they're great. If you can mine some sort of depth player on their roster, and they can spread it out from time to time. They've got three home games this week. They're excellent at home, despite losing to the Nashville Predators in regulation, shockingly, last week on home ice. I think they bounced back from that one, though. You got three on home ice. They got four games in total. And I'm looking at any team that plays the Vancouver Canucks at any point and also has four games. And Pittsburgh fits that bill. New Jersey fits that bill. So you get four games, and one of them you get against the Canucks, who just absolutely stink right now. So that's a path I'm playing right now in fantasy hockey, Nick.
Yeah, it's scary times for the Vancouver Canucks, but much needed. And I think at the end of the day, while their fans are going to complain about this, it's the right thing to do, and they're going to get a really, really good player coming up in June's entry draft in Buffalo, which we're excited about, right, Pete Jensen? But let's look at the waiver wire list this week. Pete, your pick here. Where do you want to start?
So I think that the Columbus Blue Jackets coaching bump is yielding some really nice results. Props to Meany, who hit all over Charlie Coyle right after it. And he also mentioned Kent Johnson. Those guys are both playing together on the first power play, a new look unit: Werenski, Marchenko, Fantilli, Coyle, and Kent Johnson. So Charlie Coyle has been a shots on goal machine. He had 8 in one game and 7 in the other. And he's a guy that has thrived all season in high danger shots on goal, 93rd percentile among forwards there. So I think you start to pick apart this Columbus team that's 3-0 under Bonus, 4 straight wins overall. All of a sudden, they're back into the conversation in the Eastern Conference.
So there's been a couple Red Wings that have been productive in fantasy hockey that are getting attachments. We've talked about JVR a couple times, shockingly, on the podcast, that it's actually worked out getting that power play time. But there's another Red Wings player, Pete, with a good line assignment, actually helped win me my league on, or win me my week on Sunday with a couple of points.
Right, so Andrew Kopp was one of our Sunday scoops at NHL Fantasy yesterday. He's playing center on the second line with DeBrincat and Kane, and that's what you're concerned about as a Florida Panthers fan right now, is that teams like the Sabres, I know Florida beat them last week, but also the Detroit Red Wings, these teams don't seem to be letting up just yet. Detroit has an elite offense this year, and Kopp also brings some of those face-off wins. If your leagues count that, he's actually tied with Dylan Larkin for the face-off win percentage lead on the Red Wings at 53%, and he ranks highly in a couple of different categories like high-danger shots, 20-plus mile-per-hour speed bursts. So Andrew Kopp, not always fantasy relevant, but with this lineup placement and those two goal-scoring wingers, it's a nice seat at the table for Detroit, and it's adding a little bit more depth for their team.
Pete, I'm very curious about Minnesota. Over the weekend, their entire second line was out of the lineup, but they got some massive injury concerns right now with Boldy, Eriksson Ek, Marcus Johansson out of that lineup. But you like a certain guy who's got the attachment every day to Kirill Kaprizov, right?
It's another one of those guys where you're just, how is this guy only 17% rostered? We were talking about Josh Doan the previous week. There are some of these guys that just, I guess, the casual fans out there are not buying into, even though Zuccarello's been very relevant in the past, especially since joining Minnesota and bringing that attachment to Kaprizov. It's right now Zuccarello, Kaprizov, and Hartman. You saw Zuccarello score the overtime goal to beat the Sabres on the road the other day, and that was with players like Kaprizov and Quinn Hughes on the ice. So it's an exciting spot for him to be in. And, you know, his offensive zone time percentage is very strong, mid-range goals as well. He's more of a distributor, but they may call on him with a guy like Boldy out on the power play to shoot a little bit more in the next couple of weeks of the season.
So Boston continues to be a story here, guys, and they continue to just stay in this fight, even though it feels like the roster's not that good. You look at it on paper, but then you watch it on the ice and you go, this team could actually play some pretty good hockey, and they could even push the pace offensively, which I think is the most shocking part about this, Pete. And you got a Bruin on your list, a guy I've always really liked. He can have a little trouble staying healthy, but when he's healthy, he doesn't mind firing the puck.
He's fitting in really nicely. Victor Arvidsson on the second line with Pavel Zacha. The Bruins are not really going away. Actually, in any given game, they could really blow your doors off with some of the goal totals they've put up. And he's actually, Arvidsson, third on the Bruins in shots on goal this season. He's over 100. And also third on the Bruins in shots on goal per game. So, and then the goals per game, he's pretty high on the Bruins, third on the team as well. So, you know, he's checking some boxes. He's got a hard shot, 97th percentile, and he also gets those shots on goal from distance, from the perimeter, mid-range and long range. So adding a different dimension and look to the Bruins offense by the day, and a 7-game point streak for Arvidsson is a career high.
Not bad. I'm constantly looking for help on the blue line, and I was watching the Oilers over the weekend. What a juggernaut. It's like Drysdale, take your time, come back whenever you want, but this team is going to the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with, and I really like what I've seen from Jake Walman since coming back from injury here.
Yeah, they do have a pretty loaded blue line when you consider Bouchard and Matthias Ekholm and then Walman. When they're all healthy, it does stack up to the rest of the league, including Vegas. So as much as we're all over Vegas after the Anderson trade, put them into a, you know, one of those, you know, dogfight series against Edmonton, and you know it's going to come down to a couple of plays, a couple of power plays, because those two teams at even strength are pretty well matched. Walman is 95th percentile in hardest shot. This season, he's been productive since coming back from injury. 2 assists, 1 on the power play, 11 shots, and 7 blocks in his first 4 games back. So he's one of those guys. He doesn't even need to see power play time to make a difference in fantasy for your team.
What about goaltenders? Nick says he needs help on the blue line, which I'm probably in that camp in a couple leagues as well. I always need help between the pipes, Pete. I'd say 90 to 95% of fantasy players out there need help between the pipes this year. It's been a crazy year, but do you have any names for us this week that could help us out there?
This has been a tough stretch for goaltenders, I have to say. Yeah. The past 3 or 4 weeks, there are not the obvious names jumping out at you in terms of, you know, must-add players. Akira Schmid is one. So The goalie outlook right now for Vegas is Carter Hart still injured. Aiden Hill came back from injury but allowed 5 goals in his return. Akira Schmid, meanwhile, 15 wins in 21 games this season. That's an incredible rate playing for one of the best teams in the league. And he does have 2 shutouts this season. So maybe it's just one of those things where you start to view Akira Schmid as one of those quality 1B or clear backups out there, like a Casey DeSmith, how you would, you know, roster a player like that as your 3rd or 4th goalie and trust the team. You trust Akira Schmid at this point, at least until Carter Hart comes back from injury, and then you see who gets sent down or whatever happens. But for right now, Akira Schmid is a must-roster goaltender in standard leagues, which is pretty amazing to think about.
Love it. NHL.com/fantasy, where you can check out the entire Week 16 waiver wire list. Plenty of great, intriguing names on that list. Time for a break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, a look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Jake.
Thanks, Nick. Hey, Petey, how'd your NHL Fantasy Stars team do over the weekend?
It's been doing quite well. So in Fantasy Stars, you pick the team goalie situation. You get some team stats. I picked right the other day. I picked the Minnesota Wild to roster them and play them against the Buffalo Sabres. I also have the Sabres on my team, so those two teams have been red hot. Of course, the Minnesota Wild, though, have become one of the juggernauts in the NHL since acquiring Quinn Hughes, and he's helping them in all facets of the game right now.
Minnesota's been great in so many different areas, but I can't believe we're talking about the Sabres in that category as well, Pete, but they've made a believer out of me, and they're a team that I feel like I could trust in so many different areas, including that tandem goaltending that you're talking about, where I get both Sabres goalies, or heck, all 3 Sabres goalies, if they want to go with one of these 3-headed monsters that's out there right now.
Definitely looking forward to when Alex Lyon comes back, because he's the best of the 3, but UPL has been solid, Colton Ellis as well. Lindy Ruff has turned this team around, you know, in kind of with the coaching situation being a little uncertain just a few months ago. Now you have him emerging as a Jack Adams contender, and since the GM change, this team has been red hot, and they have 15 wins in their past 18 games.
You have to be deep between the pipes these days. 3 goalies deep, and that's the great thing about the tandem goaltender situation that you mentioned with the NHL Fantasy Stars app. And you can download the NHL Fantasy Stars app and set your lineup all season long.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Guys, I'll start us off. Since Kachuk's coming back, I think Brad Marchand is coming back tonight as well for the Florida Panthers. They're going to get jolted by this. I think the Panthers, in regulation, give me against the San Jose Sharks here.
Well, I'm looking at a spot game here, guys. The Maple Leafs are our slight favorites at home against the Minnesota Wild. Should be a pretty good game, but I think this is a rough spot for the Leafs coming back from a road trip. It wasn't a crazy long road trip, but it was a lot of games in a short amount of time. Colorado, you go to Utah, then you go to Vegas, the whole Marner situation. Then you ended off in Winnipeg. Nice comeback win by them in overtime. You only get one day off. Now you got to come home and face a very, very good Minnesota Wild team that's going to make you work. I like Minnesota plus money in that game. I just think that's a good spot for the Wild that have already been on the East Coast, that were in Buffalo over the weekend. And I think they could catch the Leafs a bit of a sleepy one here.
Yeah, that has a chance to be an ugly hockey game. As talked about a couple moments ago, the Wild are severely banged up. I think both teams could be happy with a low scoring type game. Hey, let's go get to OT. We'll figure things out. Of note too, the Maple Leafs have won 7 straight games at home. They've been awesome at home. This is game 1 of 5 on this homestand for them, and a pivotal one, I would say, for both teams. So I like that look. Speaking of a Hughes brother, of course, Quinn on Minnesota, but I'm looking at Jack Hughes over 1.5 here against the Calgary Flames. We talked about it earlier. You got to fade Vancouver. New York Islanders in regulation on Monday night. And Philadelphia and Vegas, I'll take the under, Jake, in that game.
You just took the play right out of my mouth. The New York Islanders, I think they bounce back tonight in Vancouver. The Canucks, they're just bad. They're just bad. Yeah. And I don't care that the Islanders are road favorites. I think the Islanders have shown us enough that they deserve to be road favorites in some of these games against bad teams now. And I watched a lot of that game against Calgary that they lost over the weekend. Islanders were the better team in that game. If it wasn't for Dustin Wolf, they probably win that game. So I think they bounce back with Sorokin in net. I struggle to think how Vancouver's going to score many goals on Sorokin tonight, Nick.
Yeah, good luck. And my Sorokin flyer that I took in July to win the Vezina Trophy is looking pretty damn good, boys.
Not to
pump my own wheels, but man, we're feeling good about that. Tuesday, Buffalo at Nashville. Give me a Ryan O'Reilly assist. He's been on fire as of late, and I like just simple New Jersey, Edmonton over. I expect a lot of offense in that game as we turn things over now to Petey Props. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, I did want to mention, since Vegas made the Rasmus Anderson trade, they are currently fourth on the odds board to win the Stanley Cup at plus 850. I actually like their chances to win the Cup more than Tampa and Carolina, who are both ahead of them on the odds board, which is interesting. So maybe a time to pounce on Vegas, a perennial contender, to go deep in the playoffs to win the whole thing after that trade, solidifying their defense. And then in the props market, I'm looking at Mikael Granlund. We didn't really touch on it, but Leo Carlson is out for 3 to 5 weeks. Granlund's the guy that's taken on a bigger role. You can get some good numbers, some good plus money numbers, plus 260 for any time goal, plus 140 for an assist, plus 350 for a power play point. He's on PP1. With their big dogs, and plus 160 for 3+ shots on goal. So I'm big on Granlund tonight, the late game against the New York Rangers.
Nick, also looking at Seattle as a home dog, I think that's not a bad price. A team I've actually surprisingly been backing quite a bit over the last month. Yeah. I didn't think I'd become a Kraken guy this year, but I guess this is where the season takes you sometimes. Maybe some Jared McCann props, in which you love a revenge game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Brandon Montour is back now as well. He loves firing it. And looking ahead to Tuesday, I know the Blues are having a rough season, but take a look at Jimmy Snuggerud at the moment, playing the minutes, firing the puck a lot, and you could get some really good prices on his shot prop right now. So they take it into Winnipeg on Tuesday. I'm going to probably continue to ride that Snuggerud shot prop.
All right, wicked stuff, boys. Again, coming up on Thursday, Chris Meaney's going to be back in the mix. Week 16, mailbag edition. Time is just flying on this fantasy hockey season, so looking forward to that. Thank you to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.